Cliffcentral.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
Cliffcentral.com.
I do some housework. I entertain children. I help with their homework. I pick them up from school. I make sure they get to their extracurricular activities. I am sometimes asked to do things out of my original scope, and I am answerable to parents. What am I? If you said a domestic worker, you wouldn't be wrong. If you said an au pair, you wouldn't be wrong either. In spite of this, you'd probably still picture them as very different roles with equally different people to fill them. The nuances that make both roles so different cross social, cultural, and economic lines. Let me break this down a bit. Au pairing is perceived as an international-based industry filled by young, foreign, and potential-filled individuals who fill the role only temporarily. In some countries, the government restricts the age range to between mid to late teens to mid to late 20s. In Europe, where it started, it had to be a part-time job because they should have also been studying part-time concurrently. But with time, it's allowed full-time roles. The term au pair is French, and it means equal to. It was given that name to influence the host family into seeing the person as equal to them in order to better facilitate their becoming a part of the family.
Damn, nigga! Sorry, I didn't know any of that.
What is interesting, however, is that they came up with the term particularly to distinguish itself from the role of the domestic worker, which they saw as an unequal relationship between domestic worker and the family. The calculated distinction has been successful, as today the roles are not seen as equal and the au pair is both economically and socially more valued. An au pair in this country is paid a minimum of 5.5 times more than a domestic worker, and they are associated to higher social, educational, and economic classes. There's no one better to unpack these distinctions than our very own Bali.
Stop.
Who has been a domestic au pair, and by that I mean she's au pairing in her native country, for just over 2 years. She has an incredible ability to perceive in ideologies and is in a constant state of reflection. She has also developed interesting insights on the industry's conditions that are specific to our South African ways of being. Hi, Bali.
Jeez, I don't know if I can live up to that. My goodness.
I'm excited.
You know when you said domestic au pair?
I liked it.
Something happened. Like, I don't know. I felt some kind of way. It's so strange.
Oh, how did you feel?
Until you elaborated that by domestic, you meant in my country.
Yes.
It was just like a wave of stigma.
Really?
Hmm.
Oh, damn. So it's in that role, hey? Stigma.
Dude.
The way you can't strip
the way
it from...
I feel like if you called the role domestic au pair, you would have much less enthusiastic, young,
very interesting,
educated applicants.
And I use that word, I mean, not just because it applies, but also because, you know, of the relationship with the domestic work industry. I found it quite interesting, actually.
We're off to a good start. Hello everyone.
So you're currently working with or alongside a domestic worker. Can you tell any very specific differences between how your day plays out versus how hers plays out?
First of all, I definitely don't live in, although I know a lot of domestic workers don't. I spend a lot less time in the home. Even the domestic workers that don't live in are usually there first thing in the morning. I am there from when I pick up the kids from school, which is usually after lunch, and I'm done by 5 p.m., which is around the time the parents will knock off.
So is it around a 4-hour workday?
Yeah, it's like a 3-4 hour workday. And my responsibilities are to do it specifically with the kids. Also, I don't quite feel like I'm required to look as busy. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It feels like there's more room for me to do a bit of nothing, because you don't always have something to do. So, like, I can sit sometimes and be on my phone. And if my employer or her husband walks past me and I'm sitting, I don't think that's as weird to them.
So do you see a clear limit to your scope?
Yeah.
Do you think that offers you the, I guess, the comfort of, you know, not looking busy? So are you ever offered more money if you do things that are out of your scope?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
There's actually a rate that we calculate for overtime and petrol. But I think the same would apply to domestic worker. I know it doesn't always.
And why do you think some families will have both an au pair and a domestic worker? And as you've split it up between the domestic worker doing, the, I guess, the more nurture-based things and you doing more of the functional-based things, why do you think there isn't the capacity for maybe just a domestic worker to fulfill both those roles?
There's usually a tutoring function built into being an au pair.
Mm.
And often the kids will actually have tutors as well for like special subjects, you know, if they need additional help. But there's a basic level of tutoring that's involved. And I think...
So is it sort of about creating routine?
Yeah, for sure. I think that would be hard. I think that would be hard for a domestic worker to do because they have to tend to the rest of the household. You know, I think they'd just be very exasperated if they were on their feet from 4:30. They had to bath the kid, get them ready for school, and then clean the house. And then when the kid gets back, make the meals. The child undresses, kind of take care of the school uniform, do the laundry, whatever else, and then sit down and do homework and prepare dinner. It's just, it's a lot. So it does make sense to have maybe an extra set of eyes and ears. But I think even if the domestic worker had capacity, there are issues perceptively around whether or not, even if a domestic worker has a matric, there are perceptive issues around whether or not they're intelligent enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Which is why an au pair or someone with a matric of a certain class might be hired as an au pair over someone of a matric of another class. And it's superficial things like personal branding. And by personal branding, I mean like how you portray yourself, things like how you dress, how you speak, what neighborhood you live in, stuff like that. They suss you out on a very superficial level.
And in some ways, it's not entirely superficial because your accent speaks to which schools you might have attended.
Right.
And we do know, I guess, in our country about Bantu education versus... English medium education.
But I could still really suck at math, which I do. And you could still have a domestic worker who maybe didn't go to as expensive a school as I did, but is just stronger at math.
Yeah, that's very true.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that speaks to a fault in the screening as well. The screens just aren't good enough. Like someone's hired... I was never interviewed. I've never been interviewed in terms of my numeracy or my literacy or my ability to help the child with homework. It's always just been assumed that because I am who I am and because of my background, that I'm competent in those areas. Also, the other reason is, look, kids are pretty classist and they get it from their parents. For kids, class is linked to authority. Do you see what I mean?
It's true.
So if you're the domestic worker and the child's parents treat you a certain way, that's how the child perceives you. And if you're the au pair, the parents treat you a certain way, that's how the child perceives you. So when it comes then to things like homework, you know, and things like actually... being able to guide and to advise the child and to be an authority, it's easier if the parents treat you as equals because they're more likely to listen to somebody who reminds them of their parents. So everything in this space is perceptive.
Which makes sense in such a personal space.
Yeah.
That you'd be more willing to sort of trust your gut. And gut, I mean, our guts are actually quite biased. So let's just get into some semantics. So you've mentioned that you've been an au pair, well, we mentioned earlier that you've been an au pair for just over 2 years. How long did you intend to do it for? Like, how long did you imagine this would last?
Yeah, dude, it was situational. And it was always meant to be temporary.
Yeah.
But because my situation
mm-hmm.
didn't change as rapidly as I'd expected.
Mm.
I ended up staying a lot longer.
What does temporary look like to you in time frame?
No, you know what?
You're just not going to commit to a number, are you?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to commit to a number at all. It was literally, it was for as long as it took me to get my writing off the ground.
Okay.
Because I want...
Okay, what deadline did you have for your writing? Did you have a time deadline for your writing?
I didn't.
Okay.
But I will say, I also got comfortable because I was kind of, I was making ends meet.
And did you ever feel stuck? And does feeling passive have any connection to feeling stuck?
I don't think I've ever felt stuck, no. I mean, that might be the difference, is that I always felt like, you know, if I wanted to, I had an alternative.
So we've talked to several domestic workers about, and I mean, sort of also pursued what it is that they get to observe because they are so unseen. Do you feel that you have the same opportunity to observe like they do? And I ask this because, you know, you sort of fit the same social class as some of the families that you work for. Mm. So do you think that it's even anything worth observing?
A lot of the things are more of the same, you know?
Mm.
They're not different, so I'm not shocked by them.
Mm.
And I don't really pay attention. I just take them for granted because, you know, that's the way we live at home. But for every home, there are nuances. So there are exceptional things. You know, I've worked for very rich families. I've worked for very conservative families. And I've worked for kind of families where the parents are, in my opinion, like overly liberal.
Is that a thing? Is that possible? I don't really think it's possible. <I'm joking. laughs>
Yeah, so there's always like, there's always small things about any environment, nuances that are observable.
Mm.
But definitely in terms of the child, and definitely in terms of that world.
And the way they raise?
Yes.
Okay.
The world of kids.
Yeah.
In general. Yeah, I think there's something about that world that only an au pair can observe because you're in the kids' different environments, whereas the domestic worker is just at home. You're like at school, you're at the parties and the play dates. You take them shopping to the mall, you go to the movies with them.
Are they different in those different environments?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of the time they are. Yeah, yeah.
So as we start being chameleons at a very young age.
We start a lot of things at a young age. Mm. To raise a child, you've got to be willing to see the world through the lens of a child. And that's what a lot of parents aren't doing.
So do you think that they are trying to have their children see the world through their own eyes?
Yeah. And okay. As much as that happens a lot of the time, I always say... Actually, Alan Watts said, schools where we take our kids to be raised by other kids. And so, because like when you're an au pair, you're not a parent, you can still be like a chum, like a buddy. And sometimes that's actually more effective.
Mm.
So you get to actually see the world through their eyes.
But do they still see you as an authority, even though you get to be friends
you
with
can,
them?
Yeah, you can, so definitely, you can straddle that line.
So they can see those two things in one person.
Mm.
Okay.
They can see those two things in one person. And I think it's just like the... being an au pair is a bit of an odd role, you know? Because you're kind of... You're doing what the teacher should be doing, what the parents should be doing, and what the domestic worker should be doing. So they can't really... And you're kind of young and cool. You know, they can't really place you. They don't know what to do with you.
Which
and
is
so,
a perfect role
for you. Exactly. So it works quite well. But... certainly observing not the world, just the world of children, but observing the world from the eyes of a child has been incredibly powerful for me.
Very interesting. But wondering though, I mean, as you say that, then is your job to consolidate, you know, all the different ways that the child is being raised, whether they're being raised by other children, whether they're being raised by parents, whether they're being raised by domestic workers, does your job then consolidate all of that?
It can.
Hmm.
But that's just the kind of au pair I am. And it was because the first au pair job I had, I loved those kids. And it's just happened to stick with me. So that's my style.
Mm.
But certainly I wasn't screened or mandated to do that.
So let's get to stigma. It's quite interesting to me that you say you have experienced that considering how differently you're treated to the domestic worker.
Mm.
So what are some of the stigmas that you feel you've developed since filling the role?
The stigma that I experience is about how people perceive me or how I perceive myself in relation to where I should be. So
who decided where you should be?
As an au pair, like, it is widely accepted that as an au pair, your job, you're in between things. It's a stepping stone.
Mm.
You could very well end up an astronaut.
Yeah.
Or the head of state.
Mm.
It's perfectly acceptable, right?
Mm.
Particularly where you're a student, right? The stigma I've experienced is purely because I'm not a student. So it's when you're not in that window of being a student, in that age group, then people and you yourself kind of stigmatize you in relation to where they think you should be. So you should not be at this age an au pair.
Yeah.
Right?
And if at this age you should be studying.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it feels like you're behind and you need to explain yourself.
Mm.
And once you explain yourself, more or less, like, people are like, okay, fine, they buy it or they don't buy it. But the role of au pair doesn't carry any inherent stigma.
Okay.
The role of domestic worker has inherent stigma.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are, where you are in your life. If you're a domestic worker, like, you must be hard done by.
Mm.
You know?
Mm.
You must not have made it in life.
Yeah.
You must be of a certain class.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the two stigmas.
Hmm.
It's because stigma hasn't been built in to au pairing. So the stigma I've experienced is, I think, largely self-imposed as well, because I'm doing this situationally and I have dreams.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a sacrifice and I understand it. But, like, you get to a point where, at first, you're secure in it being a sacrifice. Like waitressing, right? Waitressing is exactly like au pairing.
Yeah.
It's in relation to people judge you as a waitress depending on where you are in your life.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? So at first, I was kind of confident in the fact that, okay, I was making a sacrifice for my really big and lofty dreams that were authentic and unlike anyone else's.
Yeah.
And that we're going to make everyone eat my dust. Do you see what I mean?
Of course.
But you do get to a point where you kind of stop buying that, because the stigma, the less temporary the situation feels, the more overpowering the stigma becomes, and you start to kind of question yourself, and the more people interrogate you, like, you get flustered and tired, you know, and, like, you start to feel like you're making excuses.
Do they understand how big your dreams are, though?
No, but you get tired of explaining that. And you almost should explain it every single time to every single person so that you keep your own morale up and you believe yourself.
Mm.
But it's a long story. Like, if you had to ask, you know my life, you know my vision. It's a long story. Yeah. You know where I come from and where I'm going. It's a very long story.
Yeah.
And it's not a conversation. You can't have that conversation 20 times at a party. You can't. It's exhausting.
So what's your
summary?
So
after a while you say nothing. And when you say, say nothing, then you start to feel some kind of way. Because people
make their own
assumptions.
Stories, yeah.
They make their own stories.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
And then word gets around because, like, that's just what happens.
Yeah.
We never leave high school, so there's always a grapevine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it becomes, you get tired and then it overpowers you a little bit. And then you've got to remind yourself.
Wow.
Or start the meditation or something.
Yeah. I hope that happens for you one day.
I hear your co-host, that's what she did, huh?
Yeah, she did. I mean, yeah. I did most of them. I'm joking.
So, smart people.
But, you know, okay, so you're mentioning how it gets to a stage where you just keep quiet.
Yeah.
Has it ever gotten to a stage where you've lied?
There's omission card.
Possibly.
No, I don't think I've ever like flat out lied. I've definitely skirted around it though. So I'll put emphasis on the fact that I'm a writer on a sabbatical, even if I haven't written in 6 weeks.
They don't need to know that.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah.
You know?
And like the way you start the story that you maybe start.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can deflect. Yeah. Because you can make the writing story so interesting that they never ask you, how do you actually live? And that's kind of the gift of being a writer, is you just like enthral people.
Yeah.
But it definitely had instances where I felt like uncomfortable saying it, you know? And I think, especially before I made sense, made kind of helped me make sense of it.
Mm.
You know? And that's why I'm still able, like we've had such success.
Mm.
But I'm able to au pair to this day,
mm.
Because I feel like it keeps me grounded in what we do,
yeah.
And what we do is so big. Mm. But before that, I was uncomfortable, definitely around my peers, you know, and people have known me forever and. Have always had, like, I've always been very ambitious, but at the same time, for some reason, people have always made assumptions about me and, I like assumed that I would become all of these lofty things. They've always had lofty expectations of me. So, you know, I was very uncomfortable among my peers, among relatives who have known me since I was little. I knew my mom wasn't proud of it. She didn't understand it at first, you know, but my mom's great in the sense that she doesn't judge for long.
Mm.
And when we started MADE, when we started speaking to domestic workers, I felt like I had to promise them something greater than their situation. And I didn't know if I had any credibility if I was an au pair, because I felt like it was too similar to their situation.
Hmm. And who have you always felt comfortable talking about this to?
The people who already know. Like, people I've explained to.
Okay.
Who have I? Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Like, no one.
Mm. Okay.
No one except the domestic workers in the homes that I've worked for.
So let's speak to value and perceive value. So do you know the payment breakdown of your industry versus the domestic work industry?
I don't know shit.
But you know I'm about to tell you, right?
I know, right?
Okay. So according to Labour Guide, and this was now established as the new domestic worker wage increase between the 1st of December to the 30th of November, that the hourly rate, and now this is for Area A, which is within metropolitan environments, is R12.42 an hour.
Okay. So what?
So now if we were to have a domestic worker working 40 hours a week, which is an 8-hour workday every single day for a month, she would earn, or he, R1,987.20.
Dear God, ask me what the least I would accept is.
What is the least you would accept?
$70.
Interesting. We'll get to the au pairs hourly rate. Very interesting.
Excluding petrol.
Because you might say that because of the role you fill. But let's get to that. We'll get to that. Okay.
You're so excited.
Girl. But now they say, and this is what really worries me, is they say, so this is an article written on the 20th of November by and this was an interview done on the Minister of Labour, and they said that the minimum that they are allowed to be paid is 3,500 rand a month, which equates to 21.88 per hour.
Is that au pairs?
And yet, no, this is it's a domestic worker right. still. And yet, the new minimum wage is at 12.42, which means, I wonder, how many hours do they expect a domestic worker to work in a month in order to get 3,500 rand, if the minimum wage...
But that's also regulated. It's not supposed to be more than 10 hours a day. So the legislation is inconsistent, and some kind of union is not doing its job.
Yeah.
Whoever you are, the union, like... We hear whispers about you. You ain't doing like shit because that is a discrepancy. That is an inconsistency.
It needs
to be addressed.
Exactly.
It's simple as that.
Exactly. And at the moment, 90% of domestic workers are paid less than 3,120 rand a month. So now let's get to au pairs. So I went on this website that broke down the rates quite well for au pairs. I'm not going to mention them, but they said that for, on average, a 20-hour work week, which is working half a day for 5 days a week, so it's 4 hours for 5 days a week, the rate is between 5,500 and 6,000 rand a month. And what do you think that equates to per hour?
A lot.
It's between 68 rand and 75 rand an hour. So does it make sense to you that your job is more economically valuable?
Not in the least bit. But you know what makes sense to me? Human beings and assumptions and perceptions and status makes sense to me and how warped it is.
Yeah.
And really that's all it boils down to.
But how do you
it goes back to this question about stigma. The reason is that it's the demographic that au pairs, right? Not because it's got nothing to do with their hard skills, right? Like if you're studying medicine, doesn't necessarily make you a better au pair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
To somebody who is doing a diploma or isn't studying at all. Right? It doesn't necessarily. So it's not about that. It's not about hard skills.
Yeah.
But you value yourself highly enough not to accept less than that. Employers just wouldn't get away with it. Right? Because people in that demographic have a higher value of themselves.
Yeah. You know what I find interesting, though, is when I look at this rate for au pairs, I think it's more or around the same as when I just finished my bachelor's degree in architecture. So...
Dude, let me tell you, okay... Let me break it down for you.
But can I just say, though, like that is also in the same demographic. And yet when you put them in another space, they're undervalued, like economically undervalued. You know what I mean? So it almost feels like depending on the space that you're in.
Explain that again.
So I got paid around the same amount per hour. I think it was 80 rand an hour or something. As soon as I got my bachelor's degree in architecture. But I'm of the same demographic as some au pairs.
So you're saying that's less than you should be paid? Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I say that in terms of how I cannot do architecture without studying architecture. That's what I mean. You know, so in terms of some hard skills that I simply can't, I guess, teach myself.
Yeah.
Enough or like... learn on the spot.
Yeah.
You know, so they're paying me for skills learned that's specialized.
Very interesting.
So that's why I wonder, you know, because then if I'm in that space, I'm worth so little. We complain about how much we get paid all the time. And yet in another space, they are highly valued, you know, economically. So how does that work? No pressure.
No, thanks. I think
that in the domestic space,
au
pairs are the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the scope. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Every industry can only be, like, there's a ceiling to what status means, right? Like, who can be the rock stars? So, au pairs are the rock stars of the domestic space. When you're a graduate, just a graduate in architecture, puts you in a different position.
But what I find so interesting, actually, about what you say is usually a ceiling, you can imagine reaching the ceiling of your industry.
Yeah.
But I can't quite imagine a domestic worker traversing to becoming an au pair, for instance. It feels
they're
quite together and quite separate.
Yeah. No, look. As it stands, because people are as black as they are, not without jumping a social class. Unfortunately, only very, and I think there are those homes where people are woke enough and the kind of people who listen to the mate session. So all of y'all.
Yeah.
Are woke enough, hopefully by now, to have been able to go, look, I have a domestic worker. She has a driver's license.
Yeah.
She's capable of supervising with homework.
Mm.
Why don't I expand the scope of her job and pay her higher? And let her au pair, right?
In an ideal world, right? Oh, in a beautiful world.
So, because it is, it's that simple. From a job, from like a practical perspective, it's that simple. It's the mental, perceptive leap that's hard for people. I am more expendable. Right? Now, in any company, in any institution, in any workplace.
Are you sure you want to say that? Huh?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Okay.
If you are retrenching people, you know, if we're now approaching value.
Yeah.
In a common sense way.
Mm.
Right? Which I actually think applies across the board.
Mm.
If you're going to retrench people, you're going to start with the most expendable, the most dispensable person to the least. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
And so that's why maybe in a company, you start with like a couple of the juniors and you know, the last people you want to retrench in a company are senior management, right?
Mm.
Because they have the vision, first of all. Mm. And secondly, they could probably like create the capacity to do some of the work that middle management or the juniors do. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
Like, at a push. You see? They're the people who can do the most.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. Domestic workers are those people in the home, compared to au pairs. Maybe even compared...
Wait for it.
To some employers.
Yeah. Yeah. She said it.
I won't lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Mm.
So, I think if you asked a lot of people, who is more expendable, your spouse or your domestic worker?
Ooh.
Let's be real. Come on, guys. Ooh. I won't make you say it.
Now you just start.
I won't make you say it. But no, look, I say that in jest. I really do. But only half.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's something to think about. I'm just making my
point. It's a very important point, actually.
And so from that perspective alone, no.
Mm.
I don't think au pairs are more valuable than domestic workers.
Mm.
I think the genius, right, was what you said in the beginning about how au pair was a reaction to the status and the title of domestic worker.
Yeah.
There were people who didn't want to be, who didn't want to have that status, that stigma, right? They wanted to be treated equally. Mm. And so because of that shift, they were able to create perceptively a higher value. And unfortunately, status is a currency.
But I mean, just staying on perceived value, and it reminds me of one of the shows that we did with the sociologist, Raggy.
Mm-hmm.
And like the very first answer she started off with had to do with feminism.
Mm.
And domestic work's relationship to feminism. And, you know, as I think about what an au pair is meant to do, which is, you know, driving and things associated to education, which are things that were typically associated to men before, and things like cleaning dishes and bathing kids and those kind of things were associated to women filling those roles. Do you think that there's also been some sort of association of the au pair to a more masculine type role within the domestic worker industry that has also maybe granted the perception that they also deserve more economically?
That's a freaking great question and observation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I try.
Yes, that's awesome. That's actually amazing. Because off the bat, no.
I mean, we know where the economic value comes from, but in terms of like continued
off the bat,
value perception.
Yeah, off the bat, no. But if you really dig deeper, and if you think about types of women and how certain female identities are more patriarchal, they're more masculine, right? Like the career woman. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you think of power in patriarchal terms, in terms of like independence and mobility and all those good things, right? Less domestic stuff.
Yeah.
Then that's right. Yes. It's, it's the more patriarchal of the roles in that female industry.
Yeah.
But it's not a patriarchal industry.
Yes, no, I completely agree.
It's very domestic.
Completely. But it's like it's the man in the in the feminine environment.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So so we know that children are unfiltered creatures. Am I allowed to call them creatures?
They absolutely are.
Okay, good.
100%.
Although I love children, I do love children. But have the children that you've worked with ever distinguished between you and the domestic worker in terms of value? So you mentioned earlier about some of the things that they're willing to talk to you about that they wouldn't be willing to talk to the domestic worker about. But in terms of, you know, maybe a show of respect.
Yeah, definitely.
Authority, all those
authority
kind of things.
Authority, for sure.
And you've sort of expressed where they might associate authority or why they might associate authority to you. You know, if you represent something that their parents might perceive as someone that holds authority.
Yeah.
What are some of the ways that you've seen children treat domestic workers that for you has seemed like they don't quite respect her like they should?
So, the other thing is, I mean, like, kids are very easy to correct. And I think what happens a lot of the time... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It if you catch
behaviors... I'm genuinely shocked.
No, if you catch behaviors early, if you let them fester, it's very, very difficult.
Okay.
But if you catch a behavior when it happens, then it's easy to correct. And that's why you need to pay attention. And that's what I was saying earlier on about actually having to see the world through a child's eyes. I think... a lot of the time, there exists the opportunity, because I've successfully changed the perception that the kids have of me, the ones that I've worked with, or looked after rather.
By talking or by action?
By talking and action. It's reasoning with them.
Okay.
A lot of the time, and it's repetition, and it's just making them aware of your feelings. And I think a lot of adults are afraid to make kids aware of their feelings. And I think kids respond very well to feelings. Do you know what I mean? And not just a slap on the wrist, I'm angry with you, but kids are very sensitive creatures. And if you show them that something hurts you, then it's actually incredibly effective and they won't do it again. Whereas a lot of people
will feel like that's a sign of weakness.
Well, isn't part of the problem also that, I mean, they say children have that sixth sense where they, like, they know how to nag you. They know what'll drive you mad. Mm. And isn't there also a sort of reservation because often children will, you know, navigate your feelings to try and manipulate you to get what they want or things like that. And so part of the closeness of parents could also be because they don't want to be manipulated by people that can really manipulate.
Sure. But now I'm talking in terms of the au pair or the domestic worker.
Okay.
Right.
But I do wonder regarding that. Mm. So I think you're quite transparent. Mm. Have you ever felt like any of the children might have wanted to try some things with you because you are so transparent?
Yeah, then they do, and then I address it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Is that the repetition?
Yes.
I see, okay.
As opposed to them not trying the things with me and then trying them with somebody else.
Yeah.
Out there who's not going to be able to show them, like, to put things in perspective. Do you see what I mean? So, I think, you know, I won't say I haven't been disrespected. Look, I've always felt regarded more highly than the domestic worker.
If you felt that, do you think the domestic worker felt less regarded?
For sure. Mm. And it's about who. The domestic worker can go as far as executing the parents' rules.
Mm.
Right? And maybe they'll introduce some of their own if they can.
Mm.
What they struggle, I think, to do is to sit with the child and like have a conversation and explain in a way where the child will give them that credibility. And that's it. And it's also where, you know, like I said earlier, like as the au pair, you straddle different things. So you're sometimes the teacher, the parent, the domestic worker, and the friend.
Yeah.
Right? So I think as a result, from a values perspective, you can have more of an impact in terms of like shaping the way the child sees things and giving them perspective. You know, they'll just listen to you more.
That can be perceived as a significant value add, actually, to be a chameleon in the child's life.
For sure. Oh gosh, you can just tell with, you know, tone of voice even. You know, a lot of children think they can be authoritative towards domestic workers. Right? Whereas to me, they'll be like cheeky at best, like they would to one of their friends. They'll like kind of like give me an attitude, but it won't be authoritative. They won't tell me what to do. Yeah. They'll just think they can ignore me.
Oh.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm. And is that similar to what they would do to their parents?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It is a lot of the time similar. They'll push boundaries because I'm not their parent and they know I'm an employee. So they'll see how much they can get away with asking for.
Have you ever felt like the child has thought that they're your employer?
Yeah. But like I said earlier, it's easier to correct when you're the au pair.
Okay.
You know, because you could just have a frank conversation. And if it's not a frank conversation, like, you value yourself highly enough not to act like that. Do you know what I mean? Not to allow it to happen. Not to respond.
Yeah.
And cooperate. So, like, if a child throws a bag at me and expects me to carry it, I'm quite happy to walk right past it, you know, and then actually point down and say, pick it up. Yeah. And I will do that in front of your friends. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But that's because I don't carry as much stigma.
But you know how sometimes it makes things worse to have something comparable. So, you know, you might, as a domestic worker, be treated so terribly, but you don't quite realize until an au pair comes into the space.
Yeah.
And then you see how they get treated and you realize how badly you're treated. Have you ever felt any sort of tension between yourself and the domestic worker because of the way you get treated in comparison to her? or in relation to her?
No, because I think I've always really tried to not distinguish myself from them on a personal level in terms of our relationship, mm-hmm. you know? And they know that it's a factor of the job and the way the employer sees our jobs.
Mm.
But on a personal level, I've definitely always tried to build rapport and to treat them actually with a hell of a lot of respect. And to just like value them, I think, more highly.
You know, often where the potential bitterness can come from is if you're possibly treated better, and which means that they naturally perceive you. I mean, they naturally respect or value what you would say, and you maybe don't say anything about the way that they are being treated.
Yeah, but I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. The last thing, I will literally, any given day, I would rather have a child disrespect me than a domestic worker.
Okay.
Like, they know.
Mm.
Every one of the kids that I've looked at after, they know never ever to disrespect a domestic worker in front of me. Like, okay. it doesn't fly.
In front of you, behind you,
under me, over me, you know, like in the air, nothing. It's my biggest pet peeve. Okay. And it's something I've said in every interview with a parent.
Yeah.
Is, okay, you know, if they've like asked me, I don't know, they'll often ask like how I feel about discipline and, you know, what are the things I accept and don't accept. And that's always my number one thing.
That's
some parents don't ask, but like the ones that have, for sure.
You just throw it in there anyway.
Of course.
Also, before I leave,
I have one condition.
That's good.
But look, I won't lie, like it's not the elephant in the room. Do you know what I mean? It's a thing that I don't talk about with them.
Okay.
It's a thing I know, they know, but because we're friends, like we know it puts a strain on our relations and on our friendship if we bring it up, so we don't. It can create a rift, for sure, if you don't invest in a friendship.
So if I guess just to round up, I'll stop asking hard questions.
Oh, now you will, really? And watch this be a hard question.
Whatever. So if there was one thing that you could tell families that have both au pairs and domestic workers within their homes, what is the one thing you would want to tell them?
First of all, can I just say how territorial kids are about food?
Ooh, let's get to that.
It's the strangest thing. I think the area I've struggled with the most in terms of like how I'm perceived by the child is definitely my level of privilege within their home. And food is a big deal across the board. And it's not just the domestic worker. I think it goes without this. For them, it goes without saying that the domestic worker doesn't eat from their fridge.
Yeah.
Right? But kids get strangely territorial if you like open the fridge or the pantry and you help yourself. They don't understand it. I don't know what it is about food particularly, but they take exception. You could do anything else, right? You could like put your feet on the couch. You could, I don't know, dance around the passage. The minute you touch the food, it's the strangest thing. They just want to know, like, are you allowed?
Or do they go tell on you?
Yeah, they'll tell on you. They'll just look. I've had very awkward conversations with kids around food.
Wow.
I don't know what that is.
Have you ever asked them?
No, not. I mean, I always just get like really upset. Yeah, it upsets me. And then that's that.
Because, you know, it would be different for a child to say, you're not allowed to have that, versus this isn't your food. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't your food would be this isn't your kind of food, a class thing, versus you're not allowed to have that, which speaks to.
No, it's like, who gave you that?
Yeah. Like, what that speaks to a questioning of authority versus that's not your food, which is a class thing. Do you know what I mean?
I can't figure out which one it is, though, because I think I get the sense it's a bit of both. So when you're little, hey, yeah. Food is everything.
Yeah.
Right? Food is
and it's
currency.
Love. And it's love.
Food is love. Yeah. If you want to get a child to do anything, like, involve food, right? Mm. Give them a... Food can punish, food can reward. Food is, you know, it's very much a currency.
Mm.
And because they don't have their own money, I guess the groceries and the food equates to that, right?
Mm.
It's like, it's their power.
Yeah.
Strangely enough.
It's their conversation, actually. It's their power or conversation.
Yeah, and it's like the same way people are, I don't know, like adults become territorial about material things. For kids, they don't even see their clothes as materialistic, right? It's like, and they treat food like they were their toys. Like if I started playing with their toys, it's a similar thing. So there is like, yeah. But it's territorial.
But also, your clothes can only belong to you. But food can belong to everyone.
Yeah.
Or it can be assigned to you as a reward or a whatever it is. So
it's almost like you basically, let me put it to you this way. You know that a child has accepted you as part of their family.
Yeah.
If they let you eat. So you know how highly you rank with a child depending on how much food they let you have.
Shum, so you don't rank highly then, huh?
That's kind of been once or twice where I've really felt like an employee.
That is so interesting. And see how effective that is. It made you feel like an employee. Wow. So is there anything that you'd like to say, maybe one thing, maybe more, to a family that has both an au pair and a domestic worker?
Just make the mental leap. Really save yourself a lot of hassle, right? From a practical point of view, don't duplicate efforts. If you have somebody in your home who can be a one-stop shop for you without abusing them, please do not mistake me now, right? You've obviously got to be realistic.
Yeah.
But if you have someone in your home who can fulfill the role of au pair, who can help with homework, who can drive the kids around, don't hire an au pair if they have that capacity and you can pay them the money.
Mm.
Right? And in terms of a benchmark, if you're wondering how to, if you have an au pair in your home and you're wondering how you should be treating your domestic worker, there is the benchmark.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And
it shows that you have the capacity.
Exactly.
As well.
Understand that there is no reason for you to treat your au pair differently to your domestic worker, apart from allocation of tasks. So I really would like people to genuinely be honest with themselves about the difference and make the mental leap. And I mean, when you're hiring an au pair, don't discriminate based on very superficial, useless qualities, right? Because like I said earlier on, the way that somebody speaks doesn't say anything about how well they're going to take care of your child, how good they are at supervising homework, any of that, how responsible they are, any of that. So please set that aside and make sure that you're screening for the right things. And if you have, and get to know your domestic worker and what their strengths are, because they'll surprise you. I think a lot of people just haven't asked, can you help with the homework?
Yeah.
Because I think they would be pleasantly surprised. So challenge your domestic worker and see if there are roles or there are ways in which you cannot expand their job description. So that you can pay them more. But most importantly, do not treat your domestic worker any differently to your au pair, I really hope that people can see au pairing as domestic work.
Yeah.
You know? And if there are au pairs out there who are worried about that, that just points to the problem.
Mm.
You know? It's a status issue.
Yeah.
That we need to address. And all people need to do is make the mental leap. And I promise you, when you treat people better, they value themselves more highly and they
do better.
Do better.
Mm.
They perform better. I really want people to try to really, really make the most of their relationships with their domestic workers. And if that can include treating them like au pairs and can include giving them that job as well, then by all means.
Mm. And with that, I thank you so much, Stranger Mbali, a stranger who I've met
thank
for
you.
The first time today.
So much for having me, Talisa. It's such a pity I couldn't meet your co-host. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, you keep saying that. I don't know why.
Actually, I prefer you.
Aww.
But don't tell her. I know she's a bit sensitive, that one, hey? sensitive. Don't tell her, okay?
You're so silly. But you are amazing.
Thank you, baby.
Really, really, really insightful. And thank you so much for entertaining me, actually.
Thank you for entertaining me. You're next. Can't wait.
I've always wanted to really pry into that side of your life. And I've always wondered how you stay sane. And it's so beautiful to capture some of those insights. And I can understand why you put in as much as you put into MAID. And you make it magic.
Thank you. Oh my gosh.
You do.
No, I'm just a guest. Stop.
Oh, shit. I forget.
Okay, stop. I only feign confidence. So stop.
Stop. Thank you again so much. Do you want to do the honors?
Should I close?
Yeah. Do you want to give us the Twitter?
Okay. well. Thank you. I mean, not a lot of guests get to do this, but thank you for joining us on the MAID Sessions with CliffCentral.com. It's been lovely to have you. No, the listeners.
Oh, the listeners, sorry. Okay.
Get back.
Okay, damn, girl.
We'll catch you same time, same place next week. And please do follow us on Twitter. It's MAID Project, MAIDE Project. Or we are The MAID Project, MAIDE, on Facebook.
The MAID Sessions.
Oh, shit, but I screwed it up. Okay, 8 out of 10.
The MAID Sessions, but it can get confusing. So you can also just type in MAID Project and you'll find the page.
I'm just a guest, forgive me.
Yeah, I feel like the guest can replace me. Thank you very much. Whatever. That's not what you came here for. I'm joking. Thank you so much. Have a very wonderful evening. We look so forward to having another beautiful conversation with all of you. Good night.
Peace.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.